So we got to three lines down. The Gemara is discussing this pasuk about b'chal kodesh lo siga, the person shouldn't touch anything that's kodesh. So according to Reish Lakish, we said that meant that a person who touches kodesh touches kachim, and each kachim he would get a malchus for it. So Gemara says v'akati mi barilei, that pasuk is actually needed for something else. They tell me that letame she'achal basar kodesh lifnei zrika, that a person who's tame and eats the basar before the zrika. We know that a person normally can't eat from the karbanos until after zrika. So we already learned in the previous pasuk that a person who eats the karbanos after zrika, if he's tameh, he's going to get malchus. But what if he eats it before the zrika? How do we know he's going to get malchus as well? So that's based on the pasuk of v'chol kodesh lo siga. Ditmar, the Gemara quotes the machlokes, tameh she'achal basar kodesh lifnei zrika, Reish Lakish amar loke, and Rabbi Yochanan amar ein loke. This is a machlokes. So Reish Lakish amar loke b'chol kodesh lo siga. It says lo shna lifnei zrika, lo shna l'achar zrika. I don't care when the tameh person eats the chol kodesh, whether it's before zrika, after zrika, you get malchus. So that's what you learn from the pasuk of b'chol kodesh lo siga. So then the Gemara says comes along Rabbi Yochanan amar ein loke. Not true. You don't get malchus for touching, for rather for eating the basar prior to zrika. Kidetani bardala. Asya mutumaso tumaso. Learned the Gzeir Shavu. We saw yesterday the tumaso from Beis Hamikdash. If a person enters into the Beis Hamikdash, hizir ve'onesh. So to one who eats kodesh betame, hizir ve'onesh. V'chikas v'ahu lachar zrika. So this Gzeir Shavu tumaso tumaso is referring to only after zrika, only after the blood's been sprinkled and the tame eats b'chol kodesh. Only then do you get a violation. Do you get a malchus? But before Zrika, we have no such source. So the Gemara says, no, imke lemakra bikodesh. My bichol kodesh, extra word there, shema minatarti, we can learn multiple things. So in the end of the day, Reish Lakish learns a total of three isurim from the pasuk of bichol kodesh lo siga. Number one is that you can't touch, you get malchus for touching kodesh. Number two is you get malchus for eating kodesh after Zrika. And number three is you get malchus for eating kodesh before Zrika. That's a total of three different lavim according to Reish Lakish. The Gemara now says gufa. We just quoted above that tamei she'achal basar kodesh lefnei zrika, one who's tamei, who eats kachim prior to the zrika, Reish Lakish amar loke, Rabbi Yochanan amar ein loke. So that was the machlokas. So it comes along Abaye to qualify this machlokas. Amar Abaye machlokas betumas haguf. This is all true when the tumas haguf, when the gavra, when the individual is tamei, that's where there's such a debate. About betumas basar, if the meat is tamei, but the individual's tahor, that divya kol loka. There, everyone would agree that you would receive malchus for this. Why? What's the basis for this? So Rashi quotes here, aval tumas basar tahor she'ochel esatame. One who's tahor eats a basar kodesh, which is tame now, das hara didei behed yoksivit, and mefurish basak. Vabasa she'yiga b'chol tame, meat that has touched any tame, now it's tame meat, lo yochal, one should not eat it. So everyone would agree there, divriya kol loke. If the basar is tame and tahor person eats it, everyone agrees malchus. The only debate is if the person is tame and the basar is still tahor, that's where Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue. So the Gemara goes on to continue to prove this. Damar kra, the pasuk says, va basar, the basar is, this is the pasuk of basar sheyiga b'chol tame lo yochal, le rabos etim ulevona de la b'nei achila ninhu. Just quoting the continuation of the pasuk here, that even if a person, not only if a person eats meat that's tameh, but even if a person eats wood that became tameh, or lavona which became tameh, and they're not edible, and one eats it anyways, these as well will be included in this pasuk. Just look at Rashi for a second. Lerabos etim lavona, the tumas asman, if they became tameh and one eats it, dechibas hakodesh machshartam l'shavinu ochla. This is a concept of the Gemara in Chulin and Pesachim talks about, that normally the way it works is that for food to become tameh, has to be hukshar, has to be prepared. What does prepared mean? So a food has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids, water, blood, honey, dew, milk, and so on. So when it comes to things that are inedible, so chibas kodesh, by it becoming part of the Beis HaMikdash, into the Beis HaMikdash, that also, it makes it into a food item. That's what the Gemara in Chulin says. So Rashi says that these things, even though afagav the honey la b'nei achilininu, even though they're not edible when it comes to wood and lavona, frankincense, still, and still that's included in the pasuk, if one eats them, they would get a violation. Says Rashi, basar lifnei zrika, logara minayu, meat prior to Zrika can't be any worse than these items which are not even edible. So that's the drasha here. So Tosafot points out here actually that while Rashi thinks this is a real deraisa here, rather while Rashi elsewhere talks about this is not really a drasha, it's an asmachta, Tosafot argues and says that it is a real deraisa. The idea that we say eitzim levona become an achila, and one who eats it would be getting malchus, that's a real drasha deraisa, while Rashi thinks it's only a din derabbanan. There's an ancient chiluk that's found in Tosafot and Maseches Chagiga. He thinks there's a difference. He says when it comes to Lavona, Lavona is a real drasha. One who eats Lavona would get Malkos. When it comes to Eitzim, he's Mechalik, that's only an Isser Midirabanan. Why would one be Mechalik between Eitzim and Lavona? So the Evan Ezra of Isser Zalman Meltzer explained, because at least the Lavona is somewhat edible. It's frankincense, it's spices of some sort. It's somewhat edible, while wood is inedible. So therefore, since Lavona is somewhat edible, we could see why it's included in a deraisa level of getting malchus for one who eats it, but Eitzim, which is never edible, therefore it's not included, it's only a derabbanan. That's the understanding of the Tosfos.
You're including Eitzim, which are normally not mekabel Torah because it's a pasek. Because normally you don't include, it's wood, it's fuel. It's
not, it's exactly. Not, it's not kalim. It's not a, yeah, it's for sure. Fine. But basically it's a special kodesh akasa. The chibas hakodesh could turn inedible things into edible, at least halachically edible.
No, it's not only edible, it's mekabel Torah.
Tumah, right.
Yeah. But I'm saying because it's ochel, and ochel is mekabel Torah, that's why. Fine. So then the Gemara says, comes along Rava now. Rava Amar Machlokis Betumas Aguf. He says no. The whole debate between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is when a person himself is Tameh and he eats the Basar Kodesh. That's when there's a debate if they're Malkos or not. Aval Betumas Basar Divrakol Einaloka. But if the meat is Tameh, there everyone would agree that there would not be any malchus. A very different understanding than Shita Sabaye. So my time, and what's his basis, what's his reasoning? Kevan de la krina bay betumasa alav v'nichasa, since he's not, the project says tumasa alav, when he's tame. So since it's not called tumasa alav, the gavra is not tame, so at the same time, lo karina bay, you can't call it a basar asheiga v'chol tame lo yocha. I mean, these two psukim are very much connected to each other. They're written right there, they're one pasuk after the next, they're right next to there, juxtaposed to each other in the pasuk. So if it's not tumasu alav, if the gavra's not tame, then you can't say lo yecha, you can't say the malchus either. They go hand in hand. So for that reason, Rava concludes if the person is tahor, but the basar is tame, there is no malchus. It's only when the gavra is tame, that's when there's such a debate. So then the Gemara says, is that really true? One who eats something tame doesn't get malchus? V'hamar mar, don't we have the statement we just quoted above? Habasar l'rabos eitzim levona, that if you eat these items, even though the person's tahor, you do get malchus. So we do have cases where with the basar's tame, one does get malchus. Gemara says, no, hacha b'mayaskinan kagon shekidsha b'kli denase kimisha karvo kol matira. It's when you place the eitzim and levona in a kli sharis, and that kli sharis was mekadeshed in such a way, and therefore it's as if all the items were completed, and then the Tanan kol sheyesh lamatir and mishakarvu matirav kol shein lamatir mishakitshu b'kli. The idea is that whenever something is all the matir, I mean you can't eat the carbon, the animals of the carbon, until all the blood's been sprinkled, all the matir, that which is matir. So once all the blood's been sprinkled, you're allowed to eat it. So there's a parallel idea that when it comes to things that have no heter, meaning eitzim, there's no heter to eat it. So what makes it, edible? What makes it roi l'kabel tuma? So whenever you do something that we put into a kli, that would be the equivalent of doing zrikas dam for carbon, putting eitzim into a kli sharis has that same ability to be mekadeshit in order to make it subject to the lachas of eating. So right, typically speaking, a person eats a eitzim, he wouldn't get malchus, only if it was going into the kli to make it into a kli sharis. Look at Rashi just to make it a little clearer here. Rashi says, shekidsha b'kli. Eitzim shechatu osan b'machtas kli sharis me'amizbeach im gechalim. When they went to scoop up the gechalim, the coals from the mizbeach, and he scooped up some of the wood that was placed there as the firewood to fuel the fire, so then that would be that scooping up, that shovel would be mekadesh the eitzim. And levona shekitchu bebezichim, when he placed levona in the bezichim, which were the cups holding levona, that would be these examples. The person went ahead and ate that and ate them, he would get malchus. Fine.
I thought that would be kli sharis before. One bowl of kalim had to be
No, these are Kli Sharis. We're taking the Kli Sharis to Mekadesh the items, to Mekadesh the eights. Exactly. Right. Tosfos doesn't like this. Amashoz has a back and forth here. Maybe it could be when you cut down the wood, when you were fixing the wood. He has a whole discussion here, Dibur Maskil Shekiddush Bekli, other instances of how you could be Mekadesh Eitzim.
Okay.
It was arranged in a certain way. Yeah. So we talked about the when the Kohen would check to make sure there were no bad woods. They'd chop it, they'd fix it, they'd clean it. That also might be the stage where it's Mekadesh Bekli as well, because that doesn't make much sense because an axe is not considered a Kli Sharis. So that's an interesting discussion. Look at those.
It wouldn't be Metame at that point.
Well, if it would be, it would be Mekadesh though, and then that would make it into a Kli Sharis, into a rather an Ochel, and then if one were to touch it. Okay, fine. Well, now says Itmar. Hamala evare behemas tmeya gabe mizbech. A person places a behemah tmeya. Now, behemah tmeya doesn't mean in this case it's tame, it means an iser animal. Rashi says, kigon susan v'gemalim, because of non kosher animals. Not talking about tame animals, but non kosher animals, such as a horse or a camel. So you take some limbs of a horse or a camel, you place it on top of the mizbech. Reish lakish amar loke, Rabbi Yochanan amar ena loke. This machlok is whether it's going to be malchus here or not. So what's the debate? Reish Lakish Amar Loka, because Tahora in Tmei Lo. The Pasuk says that you only put a Behemah Tahora on the Mizbeach, and we could infer from that, and not a Behemah Tmei. The Lav HaBav Michal Asay, Lokan Alav. So a Lav that's only inferred from an Asay does qualify as a Lav, according to Reish Lakish, and would be subject to Malkos. Rabbi Yochanan argues that Amar Eino Lokan Alav. There is no set of Malkos. Lav HaBav Michal Asay, Ein Lokan Alav. A law that's inferred from an assay is not going to be subject to Malkos, so that's the Machlokos. So the Gemara says, Mesi Rabbi Yirmiya, Osa Tochelu, it you should eat, below Behema Temeya, only it, only Behema Torah should one eat, but we could infer below Behema Temeya. The Lav HaBav Michal Asay, so Mefurish Brisa that says that a law inferred from assay is at best an assay. So how can Reish Lakish get away with saying a lav above Michal Asay is a lav? It can't be true. So Yigmar says you're right. Reish Lakish agrees that a lav above Michal Asay is not any more than an Asay. So this is the machlokas. Amar le Rabbi Yaakov le Rabbi Yirmiya bar Dachlifa asvar lecha, I'll explain to you. Beivari behema tmeya. When it comes to the limbs of a horse or a camel or any other non-kosher animal, the chuli amal apligi, everybody agrees that there's an Asay and nothing more than assay. So if you put a horse's limbs, a horse's legs on a mizbeach, you get an assay. Everyone agrees. No lav, no malchus. Ki pligi, when is there a machlokus between Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan? Legabe bechaya, a wild animal such as a deer. That's the halacha. The hachimur. And now Rashi points out there's no longer machlokus of malchus. Everybody agrees there's no malchus. Even Reish Lakish agrees ha lav, ha bam mecha assay, is an assay at best. It's not a lav. But they debate, is a chaya included in that inference? Is a chaya also going to be an assay or nothing at all? V'hachi itmar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar over b'assay. No, it's violating assay. Because the pasuk says, oso sochelu, rather not oso sochelu, it says by the carbon. Which one do I want? Which pasuk here? I remember which pasuk. But it says only the behema Torah goes on the Mizbeach. And we could infer, but not a behema timea, so it's a violation of an assay. Reish Lakish Amar Eino over bevelo klum. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Yes, the pasuk says behema Torah, but you can't infer that a chaya would be a violation of assay. A chaya is allowed. Rabbi Yochanan Amar over b'assay, because the pasuk says behema in, and you infer a chaya lo. If you put a chaya on, it's a bitul, it's a violation of assay. Reish Lakish Amar, fascinating shita here. Eino over alav bevelo klum, hahu lemitzvah. There's no violation. There's a mitzvah to put a behema on the mizbech. If you put a chai on, it's completely permitted according to Reish Lakish. Rashi says, "Ahu la mitzvah, behema is a mitzvah lahakriv, and a chai is a reshus. You're allowed to put on a chai. There's no key mitzvah according to Reish Lakish, but you're allowed to place a chai on the mizbech, a big chiddush. Umiu temeya. If it's a temeya, vade lo. That you certainly cannot. Dichsib mimashka yisrael mina mutter yisrael. What can be used as a carbon? Only that which is mutter, mimashka. Just like a drink that a yisrael could drink, so to an animal that he could eat. So certainly a behema temeya would be a violation of assay, but a chaya, which is permitted, a deer, which you're allowed to eat as a kosher animal, even though the pasuk never says to put a chaya as a carbon. So Reish Lakish thinks it's allowed, it's a rishus. There's no mitzvah, there's no chiyuv, but there's certainly a rishus. And there's a lot of discussion here with understanding and shitas Rashi here, but that's a fascinating point. Now, there's so much to say here.
It's not a mitzvah.
What?
It's
It's not ritzoy. The seinach is still nonetheless. You're allowed to. The Shita Mekubetza asks a question on the side here. He says, isn't it chulun ba'azara?
Right.
That's different. Chulun chutz is shechling outside. There's the opposite. There's chulun inside. Isn't that a problem of chulun?
Why is it chulun? Because
he's a baby. He can't be makdish animal to, it's on his own carbon. The chai is not listed. Well, if I makdish it to be a carbon, it's meaningless. If I makdish a chai to be a carbon, it's meaningless. That's a different, you can't bring a bedek abayis as a carbon. It won't have kudushas guf to it. So it's in essence, it's a chulun. If I put a bedek abayis, if I put this onto a mizbech, I'm not sure if a table qualifies as chulun ba'azara, but it's a chulun ba'azara. It's not as though hektish is kudushas guf. That's a question that the Shita Mekubetzas asks. So he answers, let's see, he says, since it's not roi for carbon, chulun bazar is only on an animal that is roi for carbon, I wasn't makdish it yet. So I take a cow that can be huktash, but I haven't, it's still chulun, and I shecht it inside, that's chulun bazar. But to take a deer, which cannot be a carbon ever, and shecht it, it wouldn't be chulun bazar. I mean, chulun bazar is only when I take a potential kadosh animal, I don't use it for kedusha. But there is no potential of kedusha for carbon that would not be a violation of chulin ba'azara. What?
How's a cow chulin?
If I didn't mock it, I wasn't makdish it. I wasn't makdish it. Chulin, yeah. Chulin, I bring it in. That's a violation of a mevi'in chulin ba'azara. Now others say, therefore it comes out, according to the Shita Mekubetzas, there is no violation of chulin ba'azara by a chaya. The Rambam argues, Rambam thinks that there is an iser chulin Bazara by a chaya. He argues. So the question for him, so if you bring a chaya into the Beis HaMikdash, according to Reish Lakish, is that a violation of chulin bazara? So the Or Sameach says, no. The way around it is, chulin bazara is only when I try to bring the chaya as a carbon. Then it's a chulin bazara. If I try to bring it l'shem etzim, which means just to fuel the fire, it's a nice fatty fat deer, fuel the fire, since it's l'shem etzim, that's not a violation of chulin bazara. That's the shita of the Or Sameach. Okay. One last thing on this point. The Ramban, that we know the Ramban at the end of the Sefer Mitzvos quotes a number of mitzvos that the Rambam he thinks left out, that he missed. So one of them that the Ramban quotes is that there's a mitzvah of bringing the right animals for the karban, such as a bakar, and a ksafim, and a izim. That's a mitzvah that the Ramban counts that the Rambam does not count. How come he doesn't count that? Doesn't the Gemara say here that you have to dafka bring a behema Torah, but not a behema tmeya, not a chaya, and it's an asay? Isn't it an asay? So how come he doesn't count it as an assay? So what they point out here is what the the Megillas Esther points out, one of the Mefarshim on the Rambam, is that even though the Gemara calls it an assay, not every assay has to be counted as a mitzvah. It's something that we infer from the Gemara, but it's not exactly one of the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Okay. Gemara now says, we are around 15 lines up from the bottom here, that Mesiv Rava asks the following question, Ilu Ne'mar Karbon LaShem, Behema. Had the Pasuk said carbon lashem behema, ha'isi omer, I would say chaya bechlal behema. That when you say the word behema is just a more of a broad term. It includes even wild animals. Kinin shen emar, just like it says in the Pasuk, zos behema, this is the behema, ashetochlu, that you should eat, shor se, ksavim se, izim, ayil v'tzvi, it includes tzvi. The Pasuk says, this is the zos behema, this is a behema, a domesticated animal. And it goes down the list, it mentions a tzvi, a deer is a wild animal, it's a chaya. So you see, sometimes the words behem and chay are interchangeable. So you would think the same thing by the pasuk of the carbon, that zeh behema, carbon l'ashem behema, doesn't only mean behemas, it also includes chayas, tamalomar, bakar v'tzon, only bakar v'tzon, cattle and sheep. Bakar v'tzon, amarti l'cha v'lo chaya, only domesticated animals, not wild animals. Yachal lo yavi v'im hivi kasher. One might think you shouldn't bring the chachila, but if one did bring a chaya, it would be accepted, it would be kasher. Ha lamaze domer. What's it similar to? The Talmud shamar lo rabba, the master Rebbe says to his Talmud, hava lichitim, bring me some wheat. V'hevi lichitim v'sorim. He brings wheat and he brings barley. Sheinim kamavi al dvar. It's not going against the word of his Rebbe. Yela most of al dvar and kasher, it's accepted. I'll just give him more. He asked for wheat, I gave him wheat and barley. The Rebbe won't be upset about that. So that's what you would think, and therefore it should be permitted, even though the Torah says bakar v'tzon, if you bring a chaya also, that's not mavi of the advarav, that's most of advarav, that's allowed. Tamalomar bakar v'tzon amarti l'cha, it says it again, bakar v'tzon, to repeat it, that only bakar v'tzon v'lo chaya, then chaya is actually excluded, we wouldn't accept the b'dievet. So what's the mashal? Halamaz Adomer, what's it similar to? The Talmud Shamer Lo Rabbo, his Rebbe says to his student, I only want wheat. And then if he goes ahead and brings Hevi, Lachit, and Visor, and he adds on, Sheinu Mosir Advar. That's not viewed as adding on, Ella Kimavi Advar. It's going against the word. He said, I only want wheat and nothing else. So if you bring a chayr, that's considered mavir al dvarav, an apostle. So that's the tiyufta, the Reish Lakish tiyufta. While Reish Lakish permitted a chayr to be accepted by the Eved, the Braisa clearly says we don't accept it to be apostle. That's a tiyufta against the shita of Reish Lakish. Gemara says at the very top of Amud Beis now.
What's the meaning of Reish Lakish?
No, a Baal Tosef is a violation when you add on to a chefs of a mitzvah, five batim of five corners of a tzitzis. It's not adding on to a chefsa, just expanding the application of a mitzvah. It's like saying you could wear a tefillin, not only in shachas, but wear tefillin also in mincha. That's not a violation, that's considered a Baal Tosef. Gemara now says, top line here, chulan shekiblu. The Gemara Mishad said, if anyone accepted the blood with the intention of chutz lizmano, if a possible person like myself, I'm not a Kohen, if I would makabel the dam with the machshava of chutz lizmano or chutz limkomo, that doesn't impact it, because I'm not allowed to do kabbal in the first place. So what happens is, if there's any blood left, we'd have Ezra the Kohen go ahead and catch the remaining blood, and he would do the kabbal. So the Gemara says, by minei reish lakish mei Rabbi Yochanan, pasul mahu shiyaseh shirayim. What's the lach of this pasul? One who does a psul avoda, and he's makabel the dam, and now it's not mentioned in the Gemara, but Rashi says, and he also does a zrika. He does zrika, he does it a step further. He does Kabbalah and then zrika will make the rest of the blood on the remaining would be considered shirayim. So look at Rashi to explain what's going on here. Very top Rashi says, pasul mahu shiyase shirayim. Mishu pasul avoda, someone who's pasul to do the avoda, like myself. Mahu shiyase shirayim, can he make the remaining blood shirayim? Meaning, im kibal the zarak, if he accepts it and does the zrika. Mao shi yachzer hakasher v'yikabel v'yizrok v'yichasher carbon. Can now Ezra go ahead and catch the blood and sprinkle it, and can he now rehabilitate that carbon? Mi amrin, do we say, kevin the zarak, pasul, since I did the zrika initially, shavi ladam shibitzavar shirayim v'sulo michse lezrika, since I did a zrika, we know all the remaining blood's called shirayim. That shirayim normally has to be spilled onto the yisoda of the mizbech. If I did a zrika, albeit it's a pasul zrika, but do I render that remaining blood shirayim and the Kohen can no longer pick it up to use as zrika? It's called shirayim now? Or no, since I don't have any mitzvah of zrika, I don't have the ability to render that shirayim and the kasher Kohen can come ahead and do zrika on the remaining blood. It's not called shirayim. So Gemara says three lines down, Amarle, Ein osa shirayim el chutz zmano chutzim komo ho merata lepigula. It doesn't have any impact. This zrika that I would do would not make it shirayim, meaning the Kohen can go ahead and catch it and do another zrika, unless I had a bad machshava. Outside of that, we accepted the remaining blood. That's all the safik according to the first presentation. Kambazong Rav Zvid Masni Hachi. He thought the question was slightly different. By Minei Reish Lakish Mei Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asked his brother-in-law Rabbi Yochanan the following: Kos Pasul Mahu Shiasa Shirayim. Let's say you have blood that you caught in a cup. You're supposed to catch it in a kos or a kli. Now it's become a pasul, which Rashi says mean you walked outside with this blood. Yitzia is a psul. Does that now make all the blood remaining inside from the neck? Is that now shirayim? Can you no longer use it? Or no, even though that blood that left is pasul, but another Kohen catches the remaining blood, you could still use that blood that's flowing from the neck of the cow. So Amarle, pasul, gufe, maisvilacha. Let's say there's a psul itself. Let's say adam pasul. He throws the blood. What would you hold? What would the remaining blood be considered in the neck of the cow? Maisvilacha. E pasul mashve shirayim kos pasul nami mashi shirayim. If you assume if I, I'm a person who's pasul, if I, by sprinkling the blood of the cow, make the remaining part of the cow shirayim, so certainly if one steps outside the yotze, certainly that would also make the rest of the blood shirayim as well. Apostle lo mashi shirayim, but if I, as a possible person, cannot make the remaining blood shirayim, mean the blood is still actually kosher for another Kohen to do, so then the same halach would be kos apostle nami lo mashi shirayim. Taking a kos outside would also not render the blood remaining as shirayim. There's a parallel between the person and the yote. That's what this presentation of the Shaila was. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiya Medifti Masni, his understanding was different. His Shaila was, Abaye was asking from Rabba this time, Kos Mahu Shiases Chavero Dichoy Oshiraim. So let's look at the case here. Rashi says, Kos, it's right around where we are in the Gemara. Kos mal sheyase es chaveru dichoy oshiraim. Kegon chatas shekibol dama b'shnei kosos. You had a chatas, you shechted it, and you caught the blood in two different cups. But nasan kol masnosav me'achem yam, and you use only one cup to do all the sprinklings. The chatas requires four sprinklings, one on each of the corners of the mizbeach. So you take one kos, you sprinkle on the rest of it, and then you have another kos which hasn't been used. So what's the lacha? Do we say that chaveru oshiraim hu v'nishbach liyasod dichsev es kol ha'adam yishbach? Do you take that second cup, which had been unused, and you can still use as part of the shrine? Or do you say, since you didn't use that cup at all, that blood is meaningless, and you could only use shirayim from the one that you use to pour over the yisod? That's the shaila. Does it make it shirayim, the second unused cup, or is it dichoy, pushes off, and it's completely off the radar? That was the suffix. The Gemara says, Amar le pluksa de Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Rabban. This is actually machlokas tonight. The Tani, the Baraita, tells me that lemalahu omer, above the pasuk said, when it comes to shirayim, es damo yishvach lemata, es damo yishvach, they should pour some of the blood, not all the blood, but lemata. But later on it says, es hu omer, ves kol damo yishvach, you should pour all the blood. So is it some of the blood or all of the blood? So the Gemara explains, minayin lechata shekibol dama barba kosos, v'nafsa matana achas mizeh, matana achas mizeh, shekul nishbachel niyisot. How do I know if I catch the blood of a chatas in four cups? I use each cup, one cup per corner. So each of the four cups were used. So how do I know that I use the remaining blood in all four cups? I pour all of it onto the yisod around them. It's beach, tamalomar, ves kol dama yishbach. So then, what about yachol nasan arba matanos mikos echa? Let's say you use only one of the four cups to sprinkle all four sprinklings, and the other three remained unused. So you kula nishbachon liyisod. I might think if only one was used, still all four cups can be poured as the shiraim on the yisod. Tamalomar vezdamo esdamo, that blood. Okay, so what does that mean? Hu nishbach liyisod, fe nishbach l'ama. Only that kos that was used is poured in the yisod, but the three other cups that were unused are poured to the ama. The ama was a little like sewer that went ran down the center of the base of Mikdash, where everything went down to the sewer system. All the blood flowed and went outside of the base of Mikdash. The three unused cups are poured in the ama and may not be used for shirayim. So here we see that the Tana Kama holds that the cup was unused. It's not shirayim. It's actually called dichoy. It's pushed off. That's shitas rabbanim. Comes along Rabbi Elizabeth, Rabbi Shimon now Omer, Minayin Lachata Shekibo Dama Barbakosos, Venasan Dalmatanos Mikos Echad. Same scenario. You catch in four cups, but you only use one of the cup. So how do I know that Kula Nishbach Liyasod, that all four cups, even the three unused cups, are poured on the Yasod? Tamalomar, Veskol Dama Yishbach. You pour all of it's considered Shirayim. So here, even though it's been unused, it's not Dichoy, it's called Shirayim, and you fulfill the mitzvah with it as Shirayim. The Haksib, but doesn't the Patek say, but es damo yishbach, that you pour only some of it, not all of it? Amar Rav Ashi, ahulamute, shirayim shebetzavar behema. That's to exclude any blood that's remaining on the neck of the karbon. That does not need to be caught and gathered to spill. Only the blood that's in the cups, even the unused cups, that's shirayim, but the blood on the tzavar mizbeach, tzavar behema rather, that's going to not be used for shirayim. Gemara now says, quotes in the Mishnah, Kiba kasher v'nasin lepsul. Let's say a Kohen kasher catches the blood. He now transfers it to a pasul Kohen or a Zar. All he has to do is bring it back to the initial Kohen and everything's fine. So tzricha, and we have three different scenarios in the Gemara. One is a person using a left hand, using a kli chol, and using a pasul gavra. So the same idea. If you move it to an area where it's pasul, just put it back to the person who's kasher. So why does a Mishnah have to have three different scenarios teaching me the same exact halachas? The Gemara explains tzricha. I need all three. The Ashwin, if I taught me the case, Pasol, Havamina, my Pasol, Tame, the Chaze, level the Sibor, maybe only because of him. If I was, let's say, Ezra's the Kohen, he handed it to me and I'm a person who's Tame, so why do we allow me to bring it back to Ezra? Because we have model that a person who's Tame may do a vote in the base of Migdash. If the entire Tzibor is Tame, it's Hutra. So me being Tame, there's a certain cool involved, that's why I could give it back to Ezra and he could do the rest of the Avodah. Aval, but to say smol, where smol is never permitted, smol is always a psul, you can never use a left hand. So if Ezra moved the klisharis from his right hand to his left hand, we should think it's dacho, it's nitcha forever, we won't accept it to lo. That's why if they tell me that smol, you can just move it back to the right hand, and that's sufficient as well. Now, viashmina and small, if we told me only the case of the left hand, that just bring it back to the right hand, that's all kosher. That makes sense because the isleach sheira b'yom ha-kippur, and Yom Kippur is the one time where we actually allow a left hand to be used. When the Kohen Gadol goes to do the ketores lefnai lefnim, he needs to balance everything out. He has the pan in one hand, he has the coals in the other hand, he needs to use the left hand. It's impossible otherwise. So since there is at least one example of where we do allow for the left, so maybe when he transfers to the left hand, we just say, bring it back to the right hand. The left isn't as possible as you would imagine. And then the Gemara says, aval klichol, lo, where klichol is never acceptable. A klichol that's not kadosh is never acceptable. So if he put the dam into a klichol, maybe it should be dachoy nidcha forever. Kamashmal, and that as well, just transfer it back to a klisharis, everything's fine. And finally, iyashm inan klichol mishim dechazi l'ktushune. But even though the klichol in its current state is never used, it's completely mundane, since it has the potential, you could be mekadish it and transform it into a klisharis, so there's some potential there, maybe we could tolerate that. Abahanech emalo, but the smol, which is never really acceptable, and tuma in its current state is not acceptable, maybe that wouldn't work. Tzricha, therefore we need all three different scenarios, that if it transferred to one of those possible stages, just bring it back to a kosher person, and everything's going to be fine. Gemara now says, Beleve le dichur. So why not have a dichur? We have a concept when something is nidcha, it's nidcha lagamre. So when it's in my current state, holding in my left hand, or a possible person holding it, or it being in a klichol, right now it's not roi for doing avoda. And that's what we call dichur. Dichur means it's pushed off. And once something in the karbanos has a shame dichur, it's nidcha forever. So how could we allow you to rehabilitate it by transferring it to the klichol, to the right hand, to the kohen kasher? So Amar Le Ravina, Le Ravashi, you're right. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Medifti Mishmei Derava Hamani Chanan HaMitzri. This is a Das Yachid. Everyone else would argue and say, once it's put to the left hand, to Klichol, to a possible person, it's Nidcha, it's completely pushed off. This Gemara holds like the Chanan HaMitzri, who holds that Nidcha is not a concept. De Lesle Dichuyin. He doesn't hold up saying it's Dichuyin. How do we know this? The Tan, the Baisa tells us that it appears in Maseches Yuma as well. When it comes to the Shnei Seirim, the two goats of the Yom HaKippur, Chan HaMitzri Omer Afilu Dam Bekos Mevi Chavero Umizavga Lo. Let's say you we know there's a Sar Chatas and a Sar Lazata rather than Sar LaShem. The Sar LaShem you shecht, you catch your blood to be used to sprinkle on the paroches onto the Aron. The Sar Lazata is pushed off the mountain. So what happens? You shech the Sar LaShem and you caught all the blood. Now the Sar LaZazel drops dead. You can't push it off. You need to get a new one. So one would think, well, since it lost its partner, that blood is also nidcha, and you need to get a new Sar LaShem, two new goats, and do the whole process all over again. Comes along Chan HaMitzri, says, no, you don't have to. All you really have to do is just get another one. Get another goat to be the Sar LaZazel, to step in its place, and you could use the blood from the Sar LaShem. We don't say nidcha, we don't say dichoy. So that's a Das Yachid. But then Rav Ashi Amar, Kol Shebiyado Lo Havidicho. He thinks, no, anything that's in your hand, if you have the ability to undo it, so then that's not called dichur. Since you have the ability to transfer from the left hand to the right hand, that's not dichur. Transfer from the pasul kohen to the kasher kohen, that's not dichur. All these things, since it's biyado, that's not called dichur. Meaning even Tanakama, who holds of the concept of dichur, in this instance will agree, it's not an application of dichur, since it's biyado, since it's in your hand. Since we don't have time here, we can't go through it, but there's interesting tosos here in the bottom, the last one, about other applications of kol shebiyado, where we find nidcha being applied or not applied. So, but as opposed to the Sar LaShem, so how come by the Sar LaShem, the Tanakama who argues on Chan HaMitzri, it is Dichoy. Isn't it Biyadi to buy a new Sar LaZazel? What? So, look what Rashi says here. Rashi, unclear what he means exactly. Rashi says, Shebiyadu lesakein lahachzir kihanoch demasnisim. You bring it back the left hand to the right hand. All the things you can do, easy, quick fixes. When it comes to the Sar Mishalech drops dead, you can't just buy a new one and replace it. Ain biyado, it's not in your hand. Who says he'll give you something else? Rashi says, who says he's going to sell you something today? It's Yom Kippur. So who says you'll find the right one, the right size, the right color, the right... Yeah, so, but the Rashi just says, who says you're going to buy, he'll sell you another one. Whatever the details are, hard to match it. It's not biyado. You have to rely on someone else is the point here. So therefore, it's dichoy when it comes to the Sar Lazazel dropping dead. Gemara now says Amar of Shei Yishaya Kvaisa de Rav Ashi Mistavra. Rashi makes the most sense. Kaman Shmasle de Isle Dichuyin. Who holds of Dichuyin? Who's the concept? Who's the person behind this concept of Dichuyin? It's Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, the Mishnah Maseches Yuma tells us Ve'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda Nishbach Adam. If let's say the blood spills of the Sar Lashem, so Yamas HaMishalech, you have to kill the Mishalech and get two new goats because it has to have the same partner. We'd say Dichuyin. If Meis HaMishalech, if the Mishalech drops dead, Yishbach Adam, you have to spill the blood of the Lashem. You have to have both goats there the whole time, the same goats from the beginning to the end. So he's the one who holds of Dichoy. And also we hold, Shamin and Lei de Amar Kol Shabiyado Lahavi Dichoy. We also know that he agrees when something's Biyado to turn it back, he doesn't hold the Dichoy, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Echad Hayam Mimali Medam HaTaroves, Vizarko, Zrika Achas Keneged HaYisod. What's going on here? So Rashi explains here, let's say on Karim Pesach, things are very quick and active. It's like our Daf Yomi right now, things move really, really fast. And then the blood spills on the floor from the Karim Pesach. So what do? Says the halacha, you just gather up some of the blood, and even though the blood's mixed together with different types of Karbanos Pesach, it's fine, just throw it on. So why don't we say Dichoy? The moment the Karban Pesach blood spilled on the floor, isn't that Dichoy? No, since you could pick it up, it's Biyod Lasakin, there Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't apply the din of Dichoy, and Shmamina, Kol Shebiyado Lohavi Dichoy Shmamina. Whenever you have the ability to fix it, that does not have a din of Dichoy, and is acceptable even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay?